Great. God is good. And all the time. Yes, it's indeed it's God is good. That He is our, the source of all things, the source of our life. That we can awaken this morning to come into the house of the Lord. That with every breath that we have, that we will praise and glorify His name. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, here in our place. And let's worship and praise His holy name. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures.
Your love is unfailing, and your goodness extends to us all the way in the heights and the depth and the breadth and the length of our lives. And we just commit this day to you as we stand in your holy presence. We ask that you speak to us this morning by your Spirit. We We ask that you will touch our spirit, our souls, and our bodies. We ask that you will help each one of us to experience you in a new measure. We commit this time to you and this entire service with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. From time to time, we do what we call an inspection, and today is an inspection on punctuality. You can see there are cameras all around. And all those who come 5 minutes after I speak, their membership will be under review. No, that's kidding. That's kidding, all right? All right, come on in. The service has started. Okay, what we're going to do today is we're going to experience these seven pillars, all right? But before that, I've got some words of introduction. Number one, we are the family of God. Say, we are family of God. The family of God comprises children, they comprise the youth, they comprise the young adults, the adults, and the elderly, all right, the seniors. And it comprises the married, and I want to especially acknowledge all who are singles, okay? All who are singles, single, and all who are singles because of whatever has happened or did not happen, all right? Everybody, we are part and parcel of the family. The family of God is all of you. And there is a place here for everyone. Whatever your station in life, whatever your age, whatever your status, whatever your gender, all right? There's a place here for everyone. And in order for you to be part and parcel of the church, this last phrase is very important. You have to be plugged into the body life of the church. To be plugged into the body life of the church means that you belong to a cell group, you belong to a community of brothers and sisters that you can relate to in a meaningful manner, on an ongoing basis. I just want to emphasize that. And especially in the last few years, with a lot of people coming from everywhere, be plugged into the body life, get connected. Okay? If you're moving from one cell group to another, get the blessings of the cell leader that you are living, of the cell group you are living, and then receive the blessings of the next cell group you are living. We are part of the same family. Okay? The second thing is, I received this article about 2 weeks ago called A Town of Nothing in Arizona. Alright? Can you see the words? I think you can. Can everybody read what is on the plaque of this town, right? Town of Nothing, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Town of Nothing, Arizona. The staunch citizens. For nothing. All right. So this town in Arizona is called Nothing. You probably not heard of Nothing, Arizona, because, well, it's essentially nothing. Here's the sign that hangs in the center of the town. The people of Nothing had a vision for their town that involved nothing. There's really not much to the town. The article says there is a gas station, there is a mini mart, and a couple of trailers. Nothing was their vision, and it resulted in nothing. And that will be the same thing that will happen to a church that has a vision, but that doesn't have a strategy. It will amount to nothing. As you know, in BBDC, we say that we are an intentional disciple-making church. Our vision, the mission, is to share Christ as we mature in Him. And the first verb we must pay attention is to mature in the Lord. This talks about our relationship with God. It talks about our spiritual journey. It talks about our growing spiritually. And then from whatever we have from the Lord, we are able to share Christ. So sharing Christ is a whole range of activities. From actually sharing the gospel to being hands and feet for the Lord. We're just corresponding with a couple which you're familiar with in Houston. As you know, in Houston, they have been whacked by this Hurricane Harvey. And this brother was just sharing how in his house where he's staying, he's just every day commanding that the water levels will not enter into his house. And it's flooded the downtown area, it's flooded even Joel Austin Church, the basement, and the water was creeping up and he stopped short of entering his house. And he was so thankful. We are the hands and feet to share Christ, alright? And What is the definition of a disciple in this church? A disciple in this church is a priest and a king. And we don't change this mission statement. We don't change the purpose and the vision of the church. And every year we ask ourselves the question, are we becoming a more effective priest? Are we becoming a more effective king? As a priest, we bring people to God. As a priest, we bring God to the people. Alright? A priest prays. And as a king, we take authority over our lives, our situations, our circumstances. We take authority over demons. We take authority over sickness and disease. Alright? So that's the vision and for our church. So we must have a strategy for the purpose vision to be fleshed out. And that strategy is based on this scriptural text in Acts 2, verse 40 to 47. Okay? So on the count of three, can everybody read Acts 2, 40 to 47? Every word inclusive of the words in brackets. Alright? One, two, read. And with... together and in prayer. Then fear came. So from this passage, we extracted these seven pillars. And we've been developing on this. All the arrows are intentional. We focus, our priority is first God. Okay, we worship. And then the word must always have a response. Alright, the two arrows up and down. The leaders come from the body life. And ministries must have works of faith. Alright, and it's progressive as we move on. Over the next few weeks, we'll unpack each of these in detail. But today, we want to experience every aspect of these seven pillars. So firstly, anointed worship. The Lord is seeking true worshippers. John 4, 23, 24. The hour is coming where true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. Alright, we've learned this many a times from this pulpit. And who are true worshippers? True worshippers are those who worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit means from our S, the small S in us, connecting to the capital S, the Holy Spirit. In truth, it means that there must be truth in our inward parts, in our inner life. The Bible says, if we come to the altar and we remember our sister has something against us, He says, go and be reconciled to the sister. In truth means that we must be guided by the word of truth. We must be guided that everything that we do must be biblical. The songs that we sing, the things that we do. The very important thing about worship is that we must connect with the Holy Spirit. True worship is when our spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:3 says that we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit means that we are guided by the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit, we are enabled by the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. It means that we do not rely on our physical environment. This is a beautiful auditorium. I know it's very hot and humid out there. All right, we come here, we're very comfortable, but that doesn't lead to true worship. We have an excellent worship team. All right, from the drummer, the bassist, the keyboardist, the guitarist, to the singers. The best you can find in this part of Singapore. All right, and nowhere else. And yet we do not, our confidence is not relying on them. Our confidence is in the Holy Spirit to connect us with the Holy Spirit. Which is why in our corporate worship, it is at least half an hour, and sometimes we go on to 35, 40 minutes. Why? For those of us who are relatively new, it may take us 15, 20, 25 minutes before we connect with the Lord. By the time you sing that worship song. But for some of us who have been accustomed to this mode of worship, we can connect with God immediately. Praise God who saved my soul from the very start. Immediately you connect with God. And our aim is for all of us. In this service, we normally have between 600 to 800 people. All of us connect with the Lord. Alright? Imagine how powerful it will be. God will inhabit our thanksgiving, our praises and so forth. So worship God in the Spirit means our spirit connecting with the Spirit of God. Through songs, through prayers, through the posture of our hearts. So it is singing songs, but it is more than just singing songs. Communing with the Holy Spirit because He is the one who pours the love of the Father God in our hearts. Romans 5:5. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as we worship Him, the Father God embraces us. You heard me share from time to time, why I worship God if I'm in town for all three services? Because every worship service is different. I'm physically very tired, alright? And therefore, as I worship, I say, Lord, you just have to refresh me. You who raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, give life, give strength to this mortal body. Alright? My feet is tired, my voice is tired, my body is tired. But since you're going to have to give me strength. I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. And that normally happens as we worship. He refreshes us. He reboots us. He rejuvenates us through the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit is also the one who reveals Jesus and very importantly, the finished works of Christ on the cross and glorifies the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus Himself said, when I am lifted up, I will draw every man to myself. In our worship, we exalt the Lord Jesus. The pulpit, we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So John 14:26, the Holy Spirit is the helper. He'll bring to our remembrance the things Jesus said. And who is Jesus? He is the Word. He'll bring to remembrance the thing He said. John 15:26, when the helper comes, He's the Spirit of truth. He will testify of Jesus. He will amplify the Lord Jesus. But John 16:13, when He comes, He's the Spirit of truth, He will guide us into all truth. Alright? So the Holy Spirit does that. True worship involves all three aspects of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Firstly, thanksgiving. What is the essence of thanksgiving? The essence of thanksgiving is to have a spirit of gratefulness. Romans 1 is a chapter that rebukes all those who rebel against God. And one of the things they did in Romans 1:21, they knew God, they did not glorify God as God, and they were ungrateful, they were unthankful. What happens? Their thinking became futile. Church, we know that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Question, how do we maintain wisdom? How do we sustain wisdom? How do we continually receive wisdom? A spirit of gratefulness. The reverse of Romans 1:21. What is wisdom? The opposite of foolishness. Wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. Wisdom is the opposite of futility, vainness, nothingness in our thinking. So you want to have some ota, some insight, some substance in our thinking. A spirit of gratefulness will help us to have that. Secondly, praise. What is praise? The bottom line of praise is to declare the names of God. Hebrews 13:15 says that the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of lips, our mouths, declaring, proclaiming, confessing the names of God. What is in the name of God? His nature. What is in the name of God? His attributes. What is in the name of God? His character. So, learn to sing beyond the lyrics of the song. Enlarge our praise vocabulary. The Bible says that when we are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, we will sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms are praise songs. Hymns are testimony songs. And spiritual songs are songs from our hearts. They are phrases that you utter from your hearts. They are lines that you compose in addition to the lyrics of the song. Spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16, when we are filled with the Word of God, we will also sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And every time in the spiritual song segment, the worship facilitator will just say, let us bring our songs to the Lord. That is the time you close your eyes, you just focus on God. Those of us who have a sound for music, we are melodious. We can add in our phrases and sing along. Those of us who cannot sing, it's okay. Pray along. Groan. Mutter. Alright, just bring your songs to the Lord from the bottom of your hearts. Okay? So praise, enlarge your praise vocabulary. And finally, worship. The bottom line of worship is surrender. It is to commit to God. You're struggling in your relationship. Some work matter. Something happened in the home. Something happened to your child, your grandchild. Or you've been squabbling as husband and wife. What do? Surrender. Trust in the Lord, surrender. The Lord delights in a broken and a contrite spirit, surrender. That is the essence of worship. You've been struggling over a matter for a few hours, a few days, for weeks. The essence of worship is to acknowledge God as God and surrender. Alright? So let us now stand, bring our thanksgiving, render praises to God, and worship God. Let's focus on God. If closing your eyes helps you, close your eyes. Alright? The songs are familiar.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And celebrate your love for me. We celebrate your love for us, your purchase for us, your people. Once we were not your people, but now we are your people. Once we were aliens and foreigners, but now we are the children of God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people of God. And Lord, for that we are grateful and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The bread and wine will now be served. We'll partake it together. Hold the bread and the wine in your hands. And then, and after a while, we'll do it together. We'll partake it together. In the meantime, it's what we'll call solitude. Solitude means on your own, at your own time. Just talk to the God. Just reflect on all that Jesus has done for you. Some of us may want to sing along with the worship team. For those of you who came in late today, from time to time, we change the order of the service because we're having cameras all around to check on you. But that's kidding. Today you're forgiven. Alright? So let's remember the cross. Now take the bread and the wine. Let's reflect. Spend this time communing with the Lord. Okay? What we're doing in this service today is realigning all that we do. I don't want to take it for granted that we know and understand. We never want to take it for granted that all of us can be aligned what it means to be a true worshiper, what it means to be a believer, a son of God, a daughter of God. Okay? So take the bread in your hand, the wine in your hand, hold on to it, meditate in a time of solitude. Align with the Spirit of God. We deliberately flesh the two slides. Jesus says, when you take the bread and take the cup, do this in remembrance of Him. Doing this in remembrance of Him includes mental memory, but it's more than that. Remember why Jesus died for you. Remember why He laid down His body for us and why He shed His blood. Okay, and which is why we put the two slides. Don't just rely on the two slides, commit it to memory so that on your own you learn how to commune with God. Okay? I will lead us all in the prayer together. And what I normally do is I will hold the bread sort of like before the Lord and thank the Lord. Alright, if we can do it in the gesture, hold the bread before the Lord and pray after me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. You are the Son of God. You came and you took on human flesh and became the Son of Man. And I thank you that you died for my sins, that you died for my salvation. You died to pay the penalty for what is due to me. You died to place me in your precious body, the universal church. You died for my name to be written in the book of life. And when you died and rose again, you gave me the Holy Spirit. I'm now a temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that on the cross, not only did you die for my salvation, that healing is in the atonement. You died so that I can walk in bodily healing, bodily health, and bodily life. For this I'm grateful. I give you thanks. Let's partake the bread together. Let's hold a cup to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I drink this cup. You said that this is your blood of the new covenant. I drink this cup and I give you thanks for cleansing me from all sins, for your precious blood that covers all the legal grounds that the devil has against me. I thank you that your blood redeems me so that I can receive forgiveness of sins. And this blood is the blood of the eternal covenant that enables me to stand in the holy presence of God. That enables me to access every grace that I need for my life. I thank you for the precious blood, for there is life in your blood. Lord, let your life flow in my spirit, through my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will, and let it flow through my body. And I thank you for your blood that is my spiritual weapon, that I can overcome the evil one, even by your precious blood. I give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup. Thank you. You may be seated now for solitude, the offertory, and the announcements. Okay, a quick word about tithes and offerings. The Lord has said very clearly in His Word, you should not appear before Him empty-handed. In a sense, God doesn't need our tithes and offerings, but we need to bring Him our tithes and offerings. The tithe was instituted way before the law. The tithe was first mentioned in Genesis 14, when Abraham, after the battle, presented his tithes to the priests of Melchizedek, and then in Matthew 23:23, when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, he says, the tithe we should continue to tithe, but remember mercy for the poor and the downtrodden. And then in Hebrews 7:8, he says that when we tithe, we're actually giving it to Jesus and testifying that it is He who lives forever. Okay, so I just want to encourage all of us, the church is not asking for money, we just are stewards, but you need to tithe, I need to tithe, and to bring before the Lord our tithes and our offerings. Okay, now I want to talk about the anointed word. The word of God must result in these three things. In BBTC, the word from the pulpit here and the word in the cell group must result in these three things. 1, 2, 3, or all three. Number one, it must result in edification. It must build our faith. It must build our faith. It must help and give us hope to trust in the Lord. Number two, it must exhort us, it must strengthen us, it must strengthen our relationship with God. And number three, it must bring comfort, it must bring encouragement in our hearts. There is a place for serious, intensive Bible study. I'm a firm believer of the teaching of the Word, which is why we encourage the ladies' BSF that it happens here on Monday morning, the men's BSF Monday evenings. In fact, I was trying to bend the arm of the lady, bring the young adults BSF to BBTC. We have precepts every Thursday for the women. And I myself have various Bible study sessions with different groups of people. If you're interested in that, you have questions to ask, you can gather a critical mass of people. I'll meet with you, to study the Word. But the Word from the pulpit and the Word in the cell group are not platforms for intensive Bible study. Okay? Hear me right. We study the Word, there are platforms for it, but the Word from the pulpit and the Word in the cell group must result in these three things. It must give you hope, it must edify you, it must build you up in a relationship with God, it must comfort you and encourage you in your journey in life. The Word of God has four primary outcomes. It can be one of the four, two of the four, the combination of all four. This is in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Firstly, the Word of God is for doctrine. The Word of God is for truths and the principles of life. I'm just finished reading the first 10, 12 chapters of Deuteronomy. And this reinforces what we've been learning here. That in the sovereignty of God, there are many things. But two things we must always remember. Number one, God has given man a free will. Number two, God has placed principles and laws of life. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, remember the statutes, remember the ordinances, be very careful to observe and do them. So that it may go well with you, so that you will be healthy, so that you will not fall sick, so that the evil one will have no grounds in your life, so that you will conquer and inherit the promised land and eat the fruit of the promised land. When we flow with the principles of God, we reap positive outcomes, and they are called blessings. When we violate the Word of God, we reap negative outcomes, and they are called curses. Hear me right. John 3:16 and Galatians 3 is not automatic. John 3:16, Jesus died for the whole world. Is the whole world saved? No. It's whosoever believes in Him. Galatians 3:13 and 14, Jesus took the curse upon Himself on the cross when He died on the cross. Are we automatically inheriting all the blessings? The answer is no. Study the scripture very carefully. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come to those who believe. That the blessing of Abraham might come to those who will inherit those blessings. The word might suggests it requires a willful choice. Our choices are very important. So curses will be on earth now. When will curses disappear? After the millennial kingdom. This is recorded in Revelations. In Revelations it says, and then there shall be no more curses. Only then. In the meantime, we are exposed to curses. And this is why we need to get into the Word. We need to learn to appropriate the blessings. We need to know the truth of God. Ignorance is not bliss. We need to know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Always exposed to the Holy Spirit. Rebuke, we don't like this word. I also don't like this word. I don't like to be rebuked. Who likes to be rebuked? But we must all develop thick skin. We must all develop thick skin, literally. We must all put on the armor of God. Rebuke when we sin and live in disobedience. I remember rebuking some people, and I'm being rebuked myself, all right? We are rebuked when we are disobedient, when we are thinking wrongly and behaving wrongly. Learn to receive rebukes, especially from the Word of God. That's what it is for. Thirdly, correction. Correction of ungodly beliefs and wrong patterns of thinking. Correction. I was meeting with one couple, and then the lady said, but Jesus took all the curses on the cross, and I can just carry on. I said, the fact that you come to me and ask for prayer for this matter and that matter and the other matter, it means that things are not right in your life. If things are right in your life, you wouldn't have to come to the front, to the altar, and seek help and prayer. It is not automatic. Then there were a little argument about this, that, and then, aren't we living in the dispensation of grace? I say yes. But we need to mature. And this is where I am in my study of about prayer. As we go on to next year, when we are young, we just want the lovey-dovey part of God. Love, grace. But God wants us, as we mature, to increasingly know that He's a God of justice and righteousness. Okay, I'll talk about that in a moment. Correction, training in righteousness. We need to be trained. It doesn't come automatically. To be holy. Because righteousness has levels. Romans 1:16 and 17 says that in the gospel we are not ashamed, for it brings us from faith to faith and from level of righteousness to righteousness. Ephesians 4:23, 24, we are renewed in the Spirit, put on the new man, which is renewed in true righteousness and holiness. What was permissible before, as we walk in holiness, as we are separating ourselves to God, may no longer be permissible. What is ordinarily permissible for the young, immature Christians is not permissible for us as we grow and mature in the Lord. So the Word of God has all these four primary outcomes. The anointed altar. What is the altar? Whenever God speaks to us, we must respond to Him. I was just glancing quickly at Hebrews 3. In these four verses, three times, Look at the words in blue. When you hear His voice, when you hear His voice, when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. What does God delight? God delight. The sacrifices of God is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That means a heart that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When Saul, the king, did not slaughter the lambs and the goats and did not kill King Agag, what did Samuel, the prophet, tell him? That sin is as rebellion, and it is stubbornness, obstinacy is as witchcraft, as sorcery. So when we are stubborn, when we are arguing and trying to rationalize, when we have been pointed out, when we have been exposed, when somebody speaks to us, God is not pleased with our obstinacy and our stubbornness. He says, when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, in this regard, I want to mention, you heard me use this phrase many a times. If God can use a donkey to speak to the prophet Balaam, He can use any donkey. But unfortunately, for many of us, we tune out when the donkey is a familiar voice. We tune out when the donkey is a familiar voice. Your cell leader, your wife. I hear many things of God through my wife. Your fellow brother or sister in your cell group, your colleague, the pork seller at the market, the cashier in the supermarket on the way out, the bus driver of the SBS bus that you hop on and hop off. God can use any donkey. God can speak to us even through non-Christians. The question is, are we posturing to hear? That is the question. At the car park, it's so hot out there, so humid, you park, you want the car park space, don't have. Alright, you are late or you're not late or whatever. We have many, many reasons. The question is, we need to respond to Him. How do we respond to God? We must therefore posture our hearts to hear Him. We must posture our hearts. Proverbs 4, 20 to 20, 21 and verse 23. Number one, pay attention. That means we must set our will. Pay attention. Don't be easily distracted. Number two, incline your ears. Practice dual listening. As you listen to the speaker, as you listen to a familiar voice, listen to the Holy Spirit. Number three, do not let them out of your eyes. What are you focusing on? As you look at the smartphones, hopefully you're taking notes. Hopefully you're looking at YouVision, the Bible. All right, looking at the different translations. And not on your Facebook, your Instagram, or something else. What are you focusing on? Number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. Guard your heart, for out of your heart are the issues of life. Okay? So we're going to watch a very short video. This video is only 5 minutes. This is a message within a message in today's service. And in this message, this youth pastor mentioned four things that will steal our hearts away from God. Four things that will douse the fire of our passion for God. Four things that will kill our spiritual fervency. Four things that will cause us to backslide and stray away from God. Okay? So as you listen to the video, listen to the Holy Spirit. Alright? And then we'll do the ministry. Video, please.
In my experience as a youth minister for over 14 years, I found out four things that always killed my fire. Number one, it was offense. Anytime I got offended at somebody, I lost my fire. People leave the churches because of offense. Actually, 99% of people that leave the churches today leave because of offense. And for those of us who think, yeah, it's about church, do something and change it so that people stop leaving the church because of offense. Actually, in one meeting, Jesus had 75 of His key leaders leave Him. If you think that if the church will get perfect, less people will leave the church because of offense. If the church will get perfect, more people will leave because of the offense, because they could not live up to their perfectionism. Offense is unavoidable. We can only stop causing offenses, but we cannot ever stop having offenses. You will be offended. And offense is the devil's trap to cause your fire to die out. It's just the devil's trap. That's all it is. If you look today, somebody offended you. Tomorrow, you're gonna offend somebody. And it's the devil's trap to kill your fire. That's all it is. The second thing that I've seen in my ministry and personally in my life, or what kills the fire, is disappointment. It's when you dream, you believe, you fast, you pray, and it doesn't happen. You prayed for somebody who wanted, you believed that they're going to be healed. You had a word from God. You knew it and nothing happened. And next thing that happened is that becomes like a water that goes on your fire. And it's very important. I want you to see this. When you get offended, honestly, Jesus doesn't really go after you and tries to butter you up. When the guys got offended, Jesus didn't go up to them and say, "Hey guys, let me explain. I didn't mean you to eat my flesh. I meant communion." Jesus didn't do that. But when guys left him, left Jerusalem, walked to the city of Emmaus, he walked beside them, encouraged them with scriptures until their hearts got on fire again. Anytime you're disappointed, Jesus will walk behind you and remind you of his word so your heart will catch fire again. And the third thing that kills our fire is honestly busyness. It's when we become so busy that we don't have time to spend time with the Lord. We don't have time to even make it to church. And please understand, intimacy makes you fruitful, not busy. Busyness could be a result of intimacy, but busyness itself does not make you successful. Only intimacy with God makes you successful. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. If you are too busy to be with God, you are too busy. And this is what I know about busy people. You actually don't make more money. You make less. Because you break God's rule. God ordered for us to rest on Saturday. If you say, "But I'm going to work 3 jobs, 4 jobs, I mark this. You will not make more money. Because God blesses order. And you are out of order. God blesses order. Not out of order. I mentioned how Chick-fil-A decided not to open its fast food restaurant chain on Sundays. And people said, "Did you know that on Sundays all the fast food restaurants make the most money?" And the main guy of Chick-fil-A, he says, "I know, but God said and people should take a rest at least one day." And he says, "And I'm going to choose the most busiest day to rest." Average fast food restaurant makes $1 million a year. Chick-fil-A makes $5 million. Why? Because when you, but it doesn't make sense. Nothing with God makes sense. But when you follow the order, God blesses you. Same thing, when you give, it seems like, but you're going to lose money. And somehow you have enough. When you hold on to that, it seems like it's never enough. Business is good. If it comes out of your fruitfulness and it doesn't affect your intimacy with God. But the moment you see your fire is dying out, your fire is dying out, cut back on some things. Catch your breath. Relax. You're still gonna die. Why work so hard that you waste your, you ruin your health to get more money and then you spend your money to get your health back? Why don't you just keep both at the same time? Because this is not just about relationship with God. This is about your health being. This is about your kids. Knowing who you are. This is about your family. This is about your spouse. This is about everyone, everything being intact. And the last one is materialism. Materialism is not when you have stuff. It's when the stuff has you. I have this Apple Watch. I have this watch. This watch doesn't have me. Because at any moment, this watch can be yours. Not today. The most freeing thing for my relationship with God has been is when I can hold things without holding on to them. When God has the right to take anything out of my hand and I have the privilege to take anything out of his pocket.
Amen. All right, a very simple message. He mentioned 4 things. I've put that in an acronym. All right, BOMD. Okay, to remember them. Okay, BOMD. B stands for busyness. Everybody say busyness. O, offense. M, materialism. And D, disappointment. Okay, we're now going to ask the Lord to help us. This is your anointed altar. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first one, B, busyness. Are you too busy for God? Firstly, I want to mention, when you hear a voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit will point that area out to you to bring you back to God. But the voice of the devil will bring more guilt and condemnation to steer you away from God. Okay, so distinguish the two voices. Are you too busy for God? In your work, on the home front, looking after your children, looking after the home. Are you too busy about your hobbies, your walks, your exercises? Are you too busy for God on the phone, constantly checking your Instagram, your Facebook, constantly going through your emails? Are you too busy for God? The principle here is the busyness has stolen away your heart away from God, and it is dousing your spiritual fervor. It is pouring water over your fire for God. You're losing your passion for God because you're busy here, busy there, busy everywhere. You're too busy for God. Would you reflect that for a few seconds? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord has spoken to you on this area of your life, would you raise your hand to God and say, yes, Lord, would you help me in this area? Would you raise it high? Just keep it raised. Yes, I see your hands. In the gallery. Yep. Okay, you can put your hands down. The second one is O, B-O, offenses. Earlier this week, somebody wanted to call me and so forth from the church. He's new in the church, but offended with some other leaders in the church. I want to leave the church. Offenses will happen because we live amongst fallen people and we have expectations, and when the expectations are not met, we will be offended. Wrong words said, wrong things done, undone. The Lord wants us to become unoffendable. The question now is, are you currently, presently offended with one person or several persons? Are you currently offended? Are you currently hurt, wounded, disgusted, disappointed? Take a few seconds to reflect on that. Are you currently nursing offenses? The solution to offenses is forgiveness. But forgiveness has got three parts. The first part of forgiveness is you need to forgive for your own sake in obedience to God. The second part of forgiveness is that you need to be healed. There are wounds, you may have been misunderstood, you may have been wrongly accused, and you are wounded, you are hurt. You need to be healed. Learn to be healed. Learn to heal yourself. If you are not sure, come and see anybody later on at the end of the service, or go to your cell leaders. Be healed. And the third part about forgiveness is you must release judgment. Release judgment about that brother, that sister, that person who misunderstood you, who accused you wrongly, who have offended you and hurt you. Forgiveness are all three parts. With every head bowed, every eye closed, those of you who are presently nursing offenses, would you raise your hand to God? Says, Lord, help me. Yeah? In the gallery? Yes. I want to give you 1 minute. Would you just process that? You can put your hands down. Just process that. Name the person. Name the particular person by name to the Lord. Deal with it. Your boss, your colleague, your cell group member, your church member, your pastor, your elders, your family member, deal with it. Don't let it eat you up. Offenses will eat you up. remember this, there's only one judge, and that's God our Father. There's only one judge in this entire universe. We are not in a position to judge. And it's one thing I've learned, especially in recent years. With the judgment that you judge another person, whether it's a pastor, a leader, the same judgment will be boomerang back to you. This is Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Leave it to God. Release the person to God. Release that incident, that misunderstanding, that offense, that hurt to God. B-O-M. M is materialism. Another word for that from scriptures is the love of the world. The love of the world manifests in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Materialism is anything, any possession, any hobby, any activity, any person that takes the place of God in your life. It is called idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Anything, any person, any hobby, any pursuit that takes the place of God in your life. This is 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Perhaps you're pursuing your career. Perhaps you're pursuing a job. Perhaps you're pursuing something, someone. Materialism. You see what others have, you envy. You see what others have, you are jealous. And you want to have what others have. The solution to materialism is godly contentment. The solution to the love of the world is godly contentment. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this area. Would you help me? Yep. Yep, in the gallery, yes. You're going to put your hands down. Give you a minute. I want you to process it. Tell God your struggles. Fourth area is D, B-O-M-D, is disappointments. Some of us here, we are disappointed with God because your prayer has not been answered. You pray for weeks, you pray for months to be healed and you're not healed. You pray for this relationship to be reconciled. The relationship is still not reconciled. Or you were in a relationship and recently you splitted, you parted and you're still single. You claim a promise of God, but the promise of God is still outstanding. It is not fulfilled. You're disappointed with God. You're disappointed with your leaders. You're disappointed with life. You're disappointed with your cell group members. Disappointments. Disappointment has a way of stealing away our hearts. And disappointment has a way of stealing away hope. You lose an amount of energy for life. It takes away hope. It's called despondency. And then you get easily discouraged. Being easily discouraged is another symptom of disappointment. And for some, you're facing mild forms of depression. They're all symptoms of disappointment. Despondency, discouragement, disappointment, depression. This will steal away your passion for God. You'll steal away your spiritual fervency. Why should I? Why should I? God is like that. God didn't hear my prayer. God did not answer my prayer. My boss is like that. This Christian is like that. This leader is like that. We constantly trip over people in our lives and we get disappointed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're facing disappointments, and in particular disappointments with God, would you raise your hand to God? Says God, yes, yes, I see many hands. Here in the gallery, you can put your hands down. give you 1 minute. Would you bring your disappointments to God? Tell God. Name that disappointment to God. Name that area where you are unhappy, you're frustrated. The solution to disappointment is revelation. You need a fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh insight into the situation. You're disappointed because of the mismatch between your expectations, your idealism, and the actual experience. There is a mismatch. You need a fresh revelation. You need fresh insight. Ask the Holy Spirit for that. Take your time. Take your time to process this. So, Father, you've heard our prayers. Lord, you know the cries of some of our hearts, the struggles some of us are going through. And we thank you that you're a God of mercy and grace. That mercy triumphs over judgment. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit who is our advocate. You are the Spirit who is our counselor. You are the Spirit who is our comforter. Would you help each one of us in this journey? As we commit our lives, as we commit our situations, as we commit our issues to you, praying all this, giving you thanks, giving you praise for hearing us in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Okay, let me quickly recap. I mean, this came out of my mouth, alright? The solution to busyness is to find solitude in God. Be still and know that He is God. Psalms 46:10. Alright, the solution to busyness is to find time alone with God. Solitude with God. The solution to offenses is forgiveness. And we already said that forgiveness are three dimensions. The solution to materialism is godly contentment. Learn godly contentment. It has to be learned. It's a learned behavior. So on the one hand, we learn to behave that way, to be godly contented. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit will help us. And the solution to disappointment is revelation. You need a fresh revelation because of the disappointment, because of the mismatch. Fresh insights from the Holy Spirit. Ask for the fresh revelation and the download. Okay? So what we have done just now is the anointed altar. It's Spirit-led, Spirit-enabled, and the altar of our hearts as we respond to God. And what is the outcome? We will be changed. What is the outcome? We will be transformed. What is the outcome? We will get stronger. We move from one level of faith to another level of faith. We go from strength to strength. We will be changed. Our lives will be changed. We will be transformed from glory to glory. Okay, let me quickly go on to the next one. Anointed leaders. I'll just mention a couple of things. Number one, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. The kingdom of God is a theocracy. God appoints leaders. 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28. You are the body of Christ, members individually. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles. No point quarreling with God. God is a God of order. If you read the book of Acts, the first 7-8 chapters, apostles. Before the first evangelist came, Philip the evangelist, and before the prophets came in Acts 13, the apostles and the prophets. It is first the apostolic authority. The first 12 disciples became the apostles. Alright? And God has appointed apostles, that means people with spiritual authority functioning in the apostolic ecclesiastical authority. Okay? Second, prophets, we need to hear the word of the Lord. And here it comes in the spirit of prophecy through the gifts of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, through the words of knowledge in the various intercessory groups we have in our church. Third, teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, and so on and so forth. And then apostles appoint elders. In this church, we follow this biblical way. Elders appoint elders. Alright? And this happens all the time. They are not elected. They're not the favorite vote or your favorite leader and so forth. Nope. Elders appoint elders. And this is the same slide you've seen before. We want everybody to be plugged into a cell group. 2 to 3 cell groups comes under what we call a cell supervisor. This is a lay person like you. 2 to 3 clusters come under a cell overseer. Most of our cell overseers are lay people like you. And then 2 to 3 tribes come under a cell pastor. This is somebody on staff. Alright? He's a cell pastor. He oversees a division. And every day there is prayer in the church. We call it HOP, House of Prayer Covering. And we submit ultimately to the ultimate spiritual authority of the church, the Council of Elders. I submit to the Council of Elders. So the top 3-4 levels, we come together, the elders, the pastors, the overseers, the supervisors. All right? This is the foundational leadership structure of the church. And then in the kingdom of God in Singapore, all right, and in the universal church, God gave these 5 headship gifts to build the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying. So all of us are involved in the work of ministry. The work of the church is not left to the 10, 20, 30%. No, 100% of us are involved. This is the priesthood of all believers. Okay? After this, we're going to do some of this. Alright? In laying hands. Anointed body life. Christ is the head of the church. We all acknowledge that. But we cannot and never should say, I only submit to Christ, I submit to nobody else. Pardon the phrase, but this is rubbish. Scripture, 1 John 4:20. We cannot say we love God, but we don't love our brother. We don't submit to our brother. God has placed authority structures over our lives. So Christ is the head of the church. When we, the body, is connected to the head and we are connected, the Bible says, through every joint and ligament. My fingers are connected to my lower arm through my wrist. My wrist is a joint. My lower arm is connected to my upper arm through my elbow. My elbow is a joint. My hand is connected to my torso through my shoulder. This is a joint. My upper torso is connected to my legs through my hip. My hip is a joint. My thighs are connected to my legs through my knees. My knee is a joint and so on through my ankle, through every joint and ligament. The life of God is supplied. We are members of one another in the body of Christ. Romans 12, 4 and 5. We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Thank God. We're all different. Some are hands, some are feet, some are unseen. A lot of the intercessors are unseen. They don't want to be seen. They are shy, shy people. They are like the liver and the kidneys and the pancreas, which are unseen. And what do? The liver, the kidney and the pancreas, they remove the toxins in the body. And that's what intercessors do. In your closet, you pray. You see things the Lord shows you. You hear things the Lord speaks to you. And you pray to remove the toxins in the body. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ. Individually, we are members of one another. There is only one church in Singapore. There's one church in Laodicea, in Ephesus, in Smyrna. The messenger, the message to the church in each of these cities. But let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to the different local churches, to the different congregations, to the different assemblies, to the different gathering of the people of God. So this is one gathering of the people of God. The second service of BBTC. Alright? So let him who has ears to hear, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We are therefore to connect with one another, accept one another, love one another. Is this easy? Impossible. Impossible. Unless we first receive the love of God. Impossible is the word. Love covers over a multitude of sins. What love? The love of God. That's why we need to be connected to one another and connected to the head so that the love of God is poured into our hearts, as we've learned earlier on. When we have the love of God in our hearts, it will enable us, it will empower us to go the second mile, the third mile, to love that lady you want to strangle already, alright? And so on and so forth, okay? Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Everybody read together. 1, 2, read. Therefore, I'm just amazed at the Apostle Paul. Every word is so precise. Not only are we talking about being merciful, he talks about tender mercies. Mercies have to be tender. That means it has to be sensitive. Like a mother with an infant child. Every cry is different. Cry of discomfort. Cry the pampers are wet. Cry hungry. Cry just when you need a hug. Alright, so many different kinds of cries. But it is tender. It is sensitive. And verse 13, bearing with one another. What is the word bearing? It's the word tolerate lah. The Malay word tahan. Can you tahan the person? Some personalities are very hard to tahan, very hard to tolerate. But he says you bear with one another. You forbear. Tolerate. Tahan. Tingji. Alright, Cantonese. I don't know what's the Mandarin word. So Paul is very real. In the body of Christ, he comprises all these kinds of people. And we are at our best behavior. We are all at our best behavior. After church, when we let our guard down at the car park, at Triple Tree. So the Lord is speaking to us all the time. Apart from God, we are doomed. How much we need the love of God, the grace of God to help us. Alright? And then anointed ministries, we are not saved by good works. It is entirely due to the mercy and grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace we have been saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We settle that. Alright? Our salvation is completely due to the mercy and the grace of God. But the very next verse, we are saved to do good works. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What are good works? Okay? Hebrews 10:24 remind us, stir one another, stir up love and good works. I'm going to define good works in a moment. Here we go. Good works are always about value adding to the needs of the lives of people in our ministries. If you recall the passage we read in Acts chapter 2, they were attending to the needs of the people. Whenever we attend to the needs of people, we are doing good works. Good works is about value adding. You always hear me say from this pulpit, get away from people who are subtractive from your life, who are divisive in your life. Get into relationships that value add to your life. Get into relationships that multiply to your life. Similarly, when you're helping people, help people where you can value add to them. But remember this, we can only help people who wants to be helped. This is the biblical principle, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we look for the man of peace, the son of peace, someone who will receive you and you want help. You know the people we try to help in the neighborhood, they don't want help. They chase us away. Whether it's to the poor, alright, it's not just about poor or rich, it's about people. So we only help those who want to be helped. Whether it's giving the rice or the flour or the oil or supplying meals to the neighborhood, some of them will just throw it back to you. Okay? All kinds of people. So doing good works. 1 Peter 4:10, each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God wants us to be in the world. But God doesn't stuff the gospel down our throat. He doesn't panic. He sits enthroned. He tells us the same thing. When you go from town to town, city to city, room to room, house to house, HDB room, apartment by apartment, look for the man of peace, look for a woman of peace. That's how we do our ministries. And BBTC, you heard about all this. Just want to highlight one, midweek fellowship. We started with 30, 40, 50 people. Today is about 200 over. All kinds of senior citizens from the neighborhood and from other churches will come. Why? Because here they find fellowship. Here they find community. Here they enjoy a free meal, or almost a free meal. And after, in the afternoon, they can sing karaoke. I fought many a times in the hall one. Some of them really sing out of tune, but they enjoy themselves. They say, who cares? I'm out of tune. And they just sing along, you know. And then some of them come on the Rami-O, and then some will play ping pong, and so on and so forth. There is a community here, all right, in the midweek fellowship, as an example, and all the other ministries. And then 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we had BCCSC Awareness Week. You were made aware of all the ministries, and many of you, thank God, and we thank you for volunteering in all the different programs. Okay? And the work continues. We're always short on two things. Money and people. Alright? Money, I think we can find easily, but finding people to volunteer is a little more difficult. And that's why we're encouraging the mobilization through cell groups. mobilization through clusters and tribes. As we grow and mature in the Lord, we are to be zealous for good works. Earlier on, I said that the Father God is seeking for true worshippers. Now in this verse, okay, everybody read Titus 2:14. 1, 2, read. Who gave? The Lord Jesus is looking for His own special people. He's looking for His people to be zealous for good works. How can I serve, Pastor? You volunteer. How can I help? Earlier this week, one of my pastors and me, we had lunch with this person, one of the top psychiatrists in town. All right, we said that, why don't you give a talk? Okay, give a talk on depression, give a talk on overcoming anxiety, give a talk about dementia. All right, and there's another person, I said, why don't you give a talk twice a year? Help all our elderly people to be smart, to have smartphones and operate the smartphones, to be cyber savvy. This coming November, on the second Saturday, I want to gather everybody in this church who are involved in marriage, about strengthening marriages and strengthening the family. Alright? The second Saturday of November, register with the pastors, the announcements will come out. Alright? I want to gather 100, 200 people who will avail themselves to help strengthen marriage in all its forms, from premarital to marital to mentoring to journeying for a season. There are periods of you commit yourself, all right, and we try to mix and match and so forth, the formal with the informal. Call it a dialogue, call it a particular program, whatever. By all means, save the marriages. We need to build strong marriages, strong believers. Another time, we're going to gather all the singles for something else. I don't know what. We're going to run around Marichi or whatever, all right? We do something. We do all things to help everybody, okay? That's right. We're coming to this journey. Everybody belonging to a cell group, the input, there are two inputs. Edify is to help you to grow strong spiritually. Equip is to equip you with life skills. So in the children's church, we teach them how to pray, how to praise. Yesterday, we had a seminar, how to listen to God. In the youth church, we teach them learn to have delayed gratification. Learn to exercise self-control. The young adults, we teach them about BGR, about falling in love, about career, and making life choices, and so forth. Alright, every stage of life. The seniors, we teach them about health, about how to use your CPF funds and disposable incomes to position for another 25, 30 years. In every life stage, we need life skills. And that's what we're trying to do as a church. And what is the outcome? We're looking for four outcomes. Number one, everybody serving. The mobilization for traffic controllers downstairs at the second service. Mobilized by cell groups. Welcome team, usher team, hands and feet, cleaning toilet, all by cell group. Evangelize, we say don't do it alone, do it in your twos and threes and as a cell group. Disciple another, mentor somebody else. Surely you got something to impart to somebody else. And finally, missions, we bring it to the nations. All right. Finally, anointed works of faith. We are called to be with the Lord, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. Same slide, I preached this in February. Mark 3:14-15. This rings throughout the gospels. Be with the Lord, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. We have to do so with people who cross our paths. Go into your world. Your world is not my world, my world is not your world. Your world of your friends, your relatives, your siblings, your children, your neighbors, your colleagues, your whoever cross your path. Go into the world and what do? Depend on the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit to enable you and empower you. Share the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, set free the captives, those who are oppressed. Alright? Mark 16:17-18 says, these signs will follow you, those who believe. In Jesus' name we cast out demons. In Jesus' name we lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You're familiar with this. We've preached this for a long time. Acts 26:18, we move them from under the power of Satan to being under the power of God. To turn them from darkness to light. Alright? Works of faith. I'm going to do this for 5 minutes. Alright? After I'm going to show you how again. Remind. How many of you have a bodily ailment where you know that if you are significantly better means you are 65 to 75% better than what you were, you know that you'll be healed. So I'm referring to if you're having a headache now, a mild headache, a body ache, frozen shoulder, backache, your legs, you were limping, you had a fall. I saw somebody this morning, you sprained your ankle. All right? Any bodily ailment, or you may be having flu, or slight fever, or running nose. We're going to pray. All right? And if you're well, you're well. You're not well means you're the same. All right? Where you can tell. If you've got something that is inside, I can't tell. We've got no x-ray machine here. All right? Something that requires blood test, we have to go to hospital. But those that can be easily recognized. How many of you have such symptoms? Raise your hands. Raise higher, higher. Okay, I see a fair bit up there. Okay, put your hands down. A quick review, alright? We went through this about being priests and kings. The word empowered church comprised priests and kings who know how to wield the sword of the Spirit. Okay? I want everybody to read what's on the screen, alright? One, two, read. Authority. Okay, clear? This is a revision, alright? So, the Lord has given us, for simplicity, I've grouped that into three broad areas. We cast out demons, we rebuke sickness and disease and body aches and migraines and flus and headaches. We take authority over the environment of our situations. Okay? This is a review. Alright? So, scripture for that, Luke 4:39. Jesus stood over Peter's mother-in-law. He rebuked the fever. Did he pray? He prayed earlier on. So afterwards, when we exercise this, you pray first. Pray all you want to pray. Lord, would you release your word to heal my brother here? He's having headache or he's having bad running nose. He got this backache. You pray whatever you want to pray. Alright? After praying, right? After that, then you rebuke. You rebuke something like this. In Jesus' name, you rebuke the condition. Get out of the body. You name the condition. The pain, the ache must leave the body. It is cleansed, it's sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Okay? Now, all those of you who raised your hand just now, can you please stand? You want to be ministered, you stand. You want to be ministered, you stand. Alright? Spread all over. Now, first rule, men minister to men, ladies minister to ladies. Okay? Now, all those who are standing, sit down. The rest who have been sitting down, stand. Okay? I want groups of threes and fours. Men to men, lady to lady. Look around those who are sitting around you. Begin to minister to them. You pray first. You appoint a leader. And after that, you command as a king. And after that, you ask them the question, are you better? Okay? Are you significantly better? Okay? Do that now. Go ahead. All over. Those who are standing, minister to those who are sitting. And those who don't, there are too many of you, you're standing, just pray. Wherever you're standing, just pray for them. Alright? Okay, don't be shy. Introduce yourself. Just pray. And those of you, you don't know who else to go to, just pray for those who are ministering. explain it more? Done, you can be seated. Okay, for those who have been ministered, alright, those of you who have been ministered, pray over. If you are significantly better, can you put up your hand and raise and wave to me? Oh, alright. I'm there. Okay. Let's hear a couple of testimonies. Can I have mics all around, please? All right. Those of you who raised hand, you want to share something? Share what you were and what you are significantly better. Simple sharing, just to encourage everybody. All right. Raise your hand if you want to share something. All right. Maybe one of you can go up. Those of you who raised, I saw some hands down, all the hands down. You don't have to please me. All right. Something happened, alright? You felt significantly better after somebody, after they ministered to you. Alright, you have to share. Testify. Okay.
Yeah. After Pastor Singley had prayed for me, you know, regarding my back, now I feel much, much better. I always believe in God's healing. Thanks God for that.
Alright. Okay, short sharing. 10 seconds. 15 seconds. Next. Come on, raise your hands, then the mic will come to you. See, when you testify, alright, yes.
I praise God for the healing that He has given me for my wrist. So previously I couldn't move it too much, but thank God now it's much better. Yeah, so thank God.
Okay. Two from the gallery. Gallery. Sing this, go up. Sing this. I can't see the spotlight. Gallery, anyone? Fatima, you help me? Yeah. Okay, good. The lady there in the gallery, give her a mic.
I just want to share while the lady over here praying for me, right? I just feel a kind of a heat tingling. In fact, I always have this for many years, a straight back due to physical injury. So I just want to give God all glory, all praise, God.
Great, praise the Lord. One more in the gallery. Okay, at the back. All right, at the back. Yes, sister.
So, I want to give thanks to God for healing me. Just now when Sister Pauline prayed for me, I have fractured my toes. Now the pain is gone. Thanks God. Praise God.
Okay, now question. Those of you who were ministered to, and you felt nothing, that means same status quo, raise your hand. Alright, some of you, okay? For those of you, nothing happened, God bless you. No guilt, no condemnation. Alright? In this church, you will not hear the phrase, you have no faith. No, we're all on a different journey. Alright, and God heals through multiple ways, multiple platforms. This is just an exercise, and the point here is to encourage all of us to arise. We start somewhere and we move on. We rather have some people heal versus some people not heal. That's why we have this exercise. Right? Wouldn't you like to see some people heal rather than people who are not healed? And that's our purpose and journey, because the kingdom of God is here, but it's not fully here. But if we hear fully to the degree and to the extent we believe in the kingdom, we exercise our faith and grow in this journey with God. That's the whole purpose of it all. Okay? Last one, two more slides and we'll end. And the next slide is, we will continue this to the nations. For missions. Where we go to the nations, to the people's groups. Alright? I just want us to read 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 aloud and then we'll end. 1, 2, read. And your faith, my faith. We can talk and talk and talk till the cows come home. What's the point of it all? We come to the house of the Lord to experience the Lord of the house. We hear the word of God to experience the Lord, the God of His word. Remember that. We must experience God so that our faith is not in the wisdom of man, how eloquent the speaker is. We know he's eloquent. How smart he is, we know he's so smart. Alright, whoever the speakers are. But it's always our faith resting in the power of God. Experiencing God. Alright? That's it. Let's worship the Lord.
Faith is arising, church. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. One church, one faith. Let our anthem arise to lift God higher. One church, one faith, one anthem raised to God and God alone. One cross, one grace, one name that saves. All praise to You belong. All praise to You belong. We
already so blessed. All right? And because you're so blessed, it's all exploding in you. Right now, in your twos and threes, just turn around. Bless one another. All right, before that, in your private prayer, you pray as long as you want. But in your public prayer, keep it short. Pray for each other half a minute, 30 seconds. So in twos and threes, 30 seconds, in the next 1-2 minutes, we should be done. And then you can go. All right? In your twos and threes, bless one another. And then have a wonderful weekend.